I was supposed to fly to Saskatoon for work, and then my flight got canceled.
Oh.
So I'm running around like crazy trying to get things figured out.
So because your work is causing you some issues, it's affecting the podcast a little bit.
You know, Ryan, I've been coming on this podcast here for 4 years. In 4 years, you've been sticking it to me. I want to know how come.
You don't want to know.
Yeah, I want to know how.
You want to know?
One sec, my wife's wondering if I'm okay. Yeah, it's just the podcast, sorry. I want to know how.
Okay, I'm going to tell you. You had the talent to become a good podcaster, but instead of that, you became an investor to some cheap, second-rate non-profit company.
It's a living.
It's a waste of life.
Oh, I think God. We should quit our jobs and act full-time now, right?
You know, I wish we could. I really wish we could. Well, let's get going. So, Kyle, let's get right into it because we actually got a lot of emails and stuff to read.
Holy cow. So the drought is over.
The drought is over. I called out our fans last week. Just so you guys know, just because I called y'all 1 week and some of you delivered, there's still 95% of you that haven't done anything for this podcast. So we're going to keep calling out people. But I want to say thank you to these people. So let's get right into it. First, we got some new reviews. 3 new podcast reviews on iTunes. That's amazing because that really helps out the show.
Were they good?
They were good. Yeah, nobody took our challenge to do your quote, the review that you gave.
I'm so useless. I was trying to get on and do it, but I don't have like an iTunes account or anything, and I didn't feel like registering, so I never left the review.
And I understand that's one of the things is if you're not an iTunes listener, you can still set up an account and make a review. But the majority of our podcast listeners, I think, are iTunes. That kind of goes without saying that iTunes or Apple Podcasts, whatever it's called nowadays, is the majority of podcast listeners. Basically, if you have an iPhone, you're probably listening to a podcast.
I tried to do Google Play to see if you can leave reviews that way. I couldn't find anything, but I'm really bad at that sort of thing too.
We'll speak to people like Kyle. If you want to leave a review, the best way to do it is you can do it right in our Facebook group if you really want to. I'll read that online because people in your Facebook friends and stuff, if you're not embarrassed to say you listen to a Rocky podcast, people will see that you've posted in the group. It's a public group. And then I'll, of course, repost that or talk about it. It's all good. It's all positive energy into the podcast. You can also send us a message on Twitter and say, hey, can you read this review out online? So that'd be your shout out. You know what I mean? Because I don't read out Twitter stuff very often. It's usually just emails or reviews. So if you don't have an iTunes account, but you want your review read, by all means, send us a Facebook message on their Facebook group or Twitter or an email. And the email is gtdwithrr@gmail.com. This is from Hurting Bombs, the user Hurting Bombs.
I love that name.
Oh, the title of it is, Yo, This Podcast is Awesome. If you're a fan of the Rocky Creed franchise, this is the podcast for you. It's done with passion and a lot of humor. I've been a Rocky fan for 38 years, and I've seen every film dozens of times. Part 2 is my favorite, he says. And this show has pointed out things I never knew or missed. I started listening at the Rocky 5, he started listening to the podcast during the Rocky 5 coverage, and I look forward to every episode, and I'm also looking forward to going backwards, if that makes sense. It does make sense. So keep up the great work, guys. All right, so Hurting Bombs, he's one of our listeners that has come on the show and has gone back to past episodes. I totally recommend that.
You're going backwards, Hurting Bombs. Turn the channel from yesterday. Yesterday wasn't so great.
Yeah, go back to the beginning, see how terrible we were. We're not any better now than we were when we started. So if you like us now, you'll like us in the beginning. Okay, this comes from a user called SoulPaw76, but it's Vincent. He did sign it Vincent. I know who he is on Twitter. He says, Season 1, loyal listener. So he started from the beginning. He goes, Hi, Ryan and Kyle. Finally showing some love for the show. Been listening since Season 1 and loving it. Loving this Rocky Balboa season so far. Welcome to Kyle for being the new steady co-host. We'll try to be more vocal about the show in the future. Keep punching from the Netherlands. Keep it up, Vincent.
Nice. I just want to give a shout out to Netherlands. I was there in 2018 for the first time. I was in The Hague in this place called Rijswijk or whatever. And I just want to say Netherlands is like one of the coolest places I've ever been. I love it there. Everything's so cool in Netherlands.
Especially Vincent.
Yeah, because people like Vincent live there, I guess. They got their act together over there.
Is it?
Stroopwafels, even better. And I was just shouting out the fresh stroopwafels. People from Netherlands or who have been to Netherlands, they'll know what I'm talking about.
Okay. Do they speak Dutch? Is that what they speak?
Yeah.
I want to say again, thank you to everyone here. This is 3 new reviews. Keep them coming. If you haven't left a review like Vincent, just own it, do it, and then you're off the hook. Okay, this is from Nate. Nate underscore K from the U.S. And I should say Hurting Bombs was from the U.K., and Vincent was from the Netherlands, and now we got a review from the U.S. He gave us 5 stars. He called our podcast the quincentential. Sorry, am I saying that? Quintessential. Thank you. Boy, oh boy.
Quintessential.
He called our podcast the quintessential Rocky podcast. He goes, hosts Ryan, Ruben, and now Kyle share their passion of all things Rocky, bringing us a show that's truly second to none. Their deep dive into the Rocky saga brings fresh views full of insight, humor, and compliment the entire series one movie at a time. Keep punching, fellas. We ain't heard no bell. Nate.
Nice. Thank you, Nate. That was a good review.
I did get one Twitter. I've told people that if you want us to give you a shout out, there's 3 ways to do it. Email, iTunes review, or however you can get us a review. And obviously Patreon. If you want to donate on Patreon, we have no new patrons. I want to say to our Patreon, our 5 Patreon dudes, thank you so much. I have to say, though, I haven't gotten your money yet, not because of anything you've done. I don't know how to use Patreon, so this is a terrible plug. But right now I've got 5 people pledged, and I don't know how to tap into their finances just yet. So if you're wondering, like, Ryan, I've pledged, but you're not taking our money. And the reason why I know this is happening, because like, my mom's one of the Patreons. I talked to her yesterday. I said, Mom, I want to know, are you getting money taken out of your bank account for your pledge? And she says she hasn't yet. So she's been a pledger for 3 months, but nothing's been taken out of her account. So there's something on my end that I'm not doing. So I just want to say thank you to those who have pledged. Stand by for money being taken out of your account. Hopefully it's not a lump sum, but if it is, I understand if you want to undo your pledge until I've got things squared away. But I also don't want this to take away from people from pledging, because by the time people listen to this episode, I'll have it figured out. I just want to let those guys know that for whatever reason, there's something else I have to do that apparently I didn't do to get the money out of people's accounts. So please, if you want to donate to Patreon, what it's for, you're wondering, it's to help pay for the feed. And anything over the feed, it's like busking. You're giving money to us for doing this weekly, for editing and all that stuff, time that we could be spending with our families because we're both working fathers. Editing is a lot of work. Anything over that's in a substantial amount over, of course, will go towards the show regarding maybe software, advertising the show, but it'll never take us to Disneyland. We can't even go to Disneyland anyways because of the coronavirus, but...
Baby, you don't personally take a salary, do you?
No, there's no money.
Yeah. So it's like it just generally the proceeds go towards the actual production of the podcast. Yeah.
And I hope people that have listened to the show as long as they have know that they can trust me. We're not getting enough Patreons to even consider that. If we had like 1,000 a month, let's say, well, then yeah, we could be open and honest with our finances anyways. But that's the thing we can always promise you. Regardless of what we do, you'll know. And if you question or wonder what the heck's going on, just ask. We'll always be an open book. We don't hide our finances. With our 5 Patreons, that's not even a discussion right now.
Well, okay. I just wanted to clarify, just in case someone's listening like months from now or something and something's changed.
Oh, absolutely. I think people will go back and listen to this podcast in order, and they'll get to these episodes of Patreon. We might be covering the Rambo series by then. But I'm letting you know that I don't think we'll ever take away the Patreon, so always jump on board and donate whenever you want. It'd be amazing. I know money's hard to come by, and I understand a lot of people listen to a lot of podcasts. So, oh yeah, my promise is always going to be the same. Every episode will always be free. So this email comes from Hector, our wrestler Hector. He said, hey guys, I'm catching up on the episodes, currently listening as I type. So he's double dutying. He's typing this email as he's listening to our voices. Love that you guys are on Rocky Balboa, but still talking about the original. I never realized how, quote, creepy Rocky seemed at that moment in the apartment with Adrian until I watched the movie with my daughter a year ago. She's 13. It's a great moment to say, quote, that's why you never go to a guy's apartment by yourself, end quote.
I have a daughter. She's only 6, though. I wouldn't wonder going to men's apartments anytime soon. But stay safe out there, kids.
Yeah.
And young adults.
And that's probably the best thing we could take away from viewing that. Just like you said, and you said it very well, Kyle, that it's good that we're not changing the history of that time. That's just the way things were back then, for better or for worse. And we can talk about it now. So even in the Rocky series, we can talk about how things are to be now.
Yeah. This is one reason why I'm making my kid do karate. Someone like that gets her into a corner, she will crack their larynx. So it's all good.
Yeah, I like it. That's a good idea. My kids are doing karate too. Though karate right now is shut down because of the coronavirus until further notice.
Oh, yeah, really? Yeah, ours isn't shut down yet, but we're changing the way we do things. Like, we're not doing any contact right now.
Yeah, that makes sense. Oh, what a world. The good news is we can still podcast. He goes on with his email. Mason Dixon equals Mayweather without the charisma and pre-match hype. For the last few years, Mayweather was only hype. Imagine if he had no hype and charisma. Yeah, he would have still been champ, but no one would buy the fight. He's boring. That's Dixon.
I totally agree with that. I've used the Klitschko analogy before, but I actually like this one perhaps a little better. If you have Mayweather and take away that hype, for sure. Yeah, I don't find Mayweather fights exciting at all. McGregor Mayweather was interesting just because it was a crossover type of match. But, you know, it's like Mayweather Pacquiao or something like that. Like, I don't give a rat's ass about that. Because he wins every time. And it's like really good defensive fighter. And like, he's a good fighter, but that's kind of the problem too, right?
Right. Yeah, that makes sense. That's a great example. And I now see what he's saying here as he's listening, as he's typing. He's responding to things as he's hearing them, as he's doing the email. So he's commenting throughout the episode. He goes on to say here, and don't underestimate those raw eggs. Each egg has about 6 grams of protein. When you're poor, raw eggs, tuna, and potatoes are a great way to get swole. And this guy is pretty swole if you check him out. This is Hector Canals on YouTube. He's a great supporter of the show, and he's an independent wrestler. He's really quite a character. I really like him.
Me too. I like his Twitter and stuff.
Yeah, he's great. I like him. When I first started wrestling over a decade ago, that's how I'd start my day. 6 raw eggs, 30-minute jog, 100 pull-ups, another 30-minute jog home, shower, then a couple cans of tuna. Now, it wasn't every day, but I eventually liked the taste of raw eggs and tuna.
Huh. It's funny. I really like fish, but like tuna, canned tuna is probably like the one thing I don't like. Well, like the fishiest other stuff, but for some reason, I don't know why, tuna just doesn't do it for me. Raw eggs don't really have a taste. Did you try the raw eggs?
No, yeah. I still haven't.
It's not a taste thing with raw eggs. They don't really taste like anything. It's the texture.
Sure. Maybe for our Rocky series coverage finale, before we cover Rambo, I'll do a raw egg drink to celebrate.
If we go to Philly, you could pound six raw eggs on the steps or something.
Well, I don't want to do it while I'm in Philly in case I get sick.
You don't have insurance?
I'm not worried about that. I just don't want to wait. I just want to try to find a public place to poop.
Yeah, that's true.
He goes, thanks a lot for the plug, tweeting out my mini documentary I made a few years ago. I hope you enjoyed it. Yeah, it was awesome. It was a passion project. A lot of people only see the spotlight of entertainers. They don't see the struggle or the real human being. I could say much more about it, and that's what I'll just say for now. Thank you so much for sharing. Thanks for the great content, guys. That was Hector, our independent wrestler Hector.
Shout out to Hector. Thanks, man.
This is from Patrick Bentel. He's our German listener. He said, hey, Ryan and Kyle, just a few comments and questions. Number one, great episode again. I'm very looking forward to the next one, as always. Number two, he says, Kyle, you're a great co-host, he says.
Oh, thanks, man.
He says, your comments about Klitschko being a boring fighter that left the Americans pretty cold were spot on. For a time, I was a Klitschko fan myself because he was fighting a lot in Germany and had these big fights here. I went to quite a few fights where he filled football stadiums on a regular basis. Technically a great fighter, he had the problem that there weren't enough good opponents for him to really having him to dig deep. In the last fight against Anthony Joshua in London in 2017, he redeemed himself, though. That was a fantastic fight where he showed a lot of heart, although he did lose.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was a good fight.
Point three. I wonder how, or if at all, you'll handle Creed 3 if Sly's not in it. As it seems so at this point. Will you skip it because it's not a Rocky film anymore, or will you talk about it because it's set in the Rocky universe, even if it's only for 2 or 3 episodes? I would like that. That's what he said.
I thought we went over this.
We did.
We were going to do it, but probably not the same level of detail as the Rocky ones.
Yeah, I think we did go over it, but it might have been emailed after that discussion.
Yeah, yeah. I just didn't want to contradict what we said before.
Well, our minds always changed on it anyways. Long story short, if it's worth covering, we'll cover it. I just highly doubt it's going to be a whole season. Without Sly in it, I can't see myself covering any movie that doesn't have Sly in it for a whole season. As you know, we do podcast crossover episode project with Slycast and the Rocky Minute podcast, where we cover a Stallone film that's not Rocky or Rambo. And even those are just fine for one, really kind of a one movie, or sorry, one episode coverage, and they have Sly in them. The Rocky character and the Rambo character, I like deep diving those characters, but I can't imagine deep diving Adonis Creed.
My thoughts are, if it's really bad, I kind of want to do a deep dive just to pick it apart.
Yeah.
But if it's mediocre, then I'll be like, just glaze over it and move on.
Yeah. Well,
if it's really good, which I don't expect it to be, but if it was, then I might want to spend more time on it too. But I guess we're flexible depending on.
I think at the end of the day, it's going to be fine. So if it's based in the world of, you know, Creed and the Rocky film, it's about redemption and victory and heart, and it's going to have those things. It's going to probably be a safe, undivisive movie, which will make it kind of boring.
Yeah. Yeah. Like Mason Dixon.
Yep. And lastly, part four, when you're done with Creed 2, you'll hopefully start your Rambo podcast sometime maybe in 2021. Look, he's already trying to set a date for us. He goes, he would love to be a part of that for an episode somewhere down the line. How and when would you tackle still possibly Rocky 7 that would come in 2022 or so? He's got the timeline down, doesn't he?
The Germans are a very orderly scheduled people. So.
They do like order. Would you wait until the Rambo podcast is over? Would you talk about it next to your Rambo podcast? Okay, so basically saying, you know, if we're covering, you know, we're in the middle of First Blood or discussion or something, or part two, I should say, or Rocky 7 comes out. That's good to see. Like, yeah. What we'd probably do, that's a good question. Boy, like the Germans, I like order as well. So it'd be kind of irritating to be in the middle of the Rambo series podcast and then we have Rocky 7 come out. Yeah, well, you know what? That's another wait and see. We're just gonna have to cross that bridge when we get to it.
Agreed.
All right, so thanks, Patrick from Germany. And our last email, guess who it's from?
Does the name start with a G?
Yes.
Nice.
Yeah, Greg the First. Coming in strong, coming in last. Ryan and Kyle, he says, I just finished listening to the last few episodes. I don't have a ton to add, but a few quick comments. Number one, he says, another point for him. 4 points as well. He's following.
Love point for him, actually.
Yeah. He actually numerically put them 1, 2, 3.
Oh, I just assumed everyone else did too. That's how I'd like to do it. Maybe I'm just projecting.
No, that's good. You can't see this, can you? Can you see my screen or just the movie screen?
Just the movie screen.
Okay. He goes, not that it matters. I was just curious if you could read along. Number one, I can confirm as an American that yes, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness is from the Declaration of Independence, not from the Bill of Rights.
There we go. I was right.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Number two, you read an email from that same episode from someone that wanted us to see Adrian's death or funeral on screen, and that seems to be a fairly common sentiment among Rocky fans. I actually prefer having her death happen off screen and several years before the events of Rocky Balboa. In previous movies, we see Mickey die on screen and then Apollo die on screen, and going back to that same trope too many times could cause it to lose some of its impact. I also think that Stallone needed to establish that a significant period of time had passed after her death, because if she had just died, it is harder to buy that he would want to immediately get back into the ring and fight again. He needed time for the stuff in the basement to build up, and it would have made his relationship with Marie a little too weird. I would also argue that Adrian's presence is felt throughout the movie. The movie opens on the anniversary of her death. Rocky returns to her grave at the midpoint of the movie when Robert has his change of heart, and the movie ends with Rocky back at her grave again.
No, I agree. And even if they did something where they showed Adrian die and then they did some bullshit thing like 10 years later or whatever, as a viewer, it's still fresh in your mind that she died because you just saw it. It's hard to mentally think X amount of years later. They do that in film all the time, but I totally agree with Greg on this one. And yeah, they focus on it a lot. And the movie would be way too long. You either have to have a super long movie with her death in it, or you have to rush through her death and you're not doing it justice. So yeah, it for sure would be a bad idea to have it in there.
Those are sound reasons. I agree. And when I heard those reasons laid out, it's like, I guess it's just a part of us just never, maybe we as viewers never got a chance to say goodbye. That's all.
Yeah, it's a little hard. And we don't see Paulie's death in the either.
Paulie's death would have been kind of funny.
Yeah. He just takes a sip and he's like, bye.
Imagine if he said, he goes, Rocky, I am breathing no more.
Man, Ryan, I had that in my head for a while. That like, she's busted thing. Like, after that
one. Oh,
Rocky, my heart's busted. Yeah. It ain't beating no more.
Oh, poor Polly. Thankfully, there were no scenes with Adrian's ghost or something telling him to get up and fight or something like that.
Yeah. If Adrian's ghost came back in part 6, she would have been mad at him. It would have been the anti-friendly ghost. It would have been Adrian telling Rocky that he can't win.
Well, you'd be so bad, actually, if during the fight he was down and then they flash back to Adrian being like, win, Rocky, win.
Oh, man. That would have been bad. Point 3. I thought you and Kyle's discussion in the next episode about the outdated technology, Robert finding out Rocky got his license through an actual newspaper headline, was interesting and something I had never really thought about. See, there's the things that we bring up that people don't think about. That's what we always hope for. He says, it made me think of two moments in Creed. First, when Rocky's confused by Adonis' cell phone and the cloud. Then later, after his fight against Leo Sperino, Leo's father/trainer leaks Adonis' true heritage to the media. And by the morning after the fight, Bianca is finding out about it by scrolling TMZ on her phone.
Oh, man, that's a really good point. I wish I would have thought of that for the last episode.
But yeah, it just shows you quickly, just from even from 2006 to 2015, which is only 9 years, but how much has changed with smartphones.
Yeah, a huge game changer. That's how people get their news and information, is mostly from social media now.
Yeah, oh, it's true. Absolutely. Last point, he says, part 4. Lastly, I will weigh in on deleted scenes. I think for the most part, they should be considered canon. There are exceptions, alternate scenes or scenes that would contradict or change something that we see in the finished product. And we did bring that up on the episode that I think came out after he wrote this. He says, but I think in a lot of cases, directors always have a rough cut of the film, the director's cut that is longer, and then the studio comes in and says, want you to deliver a finished project that is X number of minutes, and they have to edit down or cut scenes that were in the original cut. The example I would give is from Creed 2. I would consider the Spider Rico funeral scene. Why does it always come back to characters' funerals? He says, canon, but I would not consider the Rocky Drago fight that they filmed in the hospital canon. Just my opinion. Oh, good point.
I wonder why, though. Why wouldn't the Rocky Drago fight be canon?
Have you seen the deleted scene of Creed 2 of Adonis going up to Drago Jr. after the fight?
Yeah, like in the locker room.
Yeah.
Yeah, I saw that.
Why is that cut out?
Good question. I would have kept it.
And if you go on YouTube to watch that, and I challenge everyone to do that, if you haven't seen that, go Creed 2 deleted scenes. There's a really kind of a nice closure of a scene where there's no hard feelings between the two fighters. They're like, you know, and that's kind of, because that's the attitude of a lot of people of the youth of today, where they're like, you know what, you did your best, you know, no hard feelings, it's over. The hatchet's buried, we're done. We can move on with our lives, which fits into the scene with Drago Sr. and Jr. jogging together, that there's no more hurt or resentment of the past, right? I don't know why they cut that out. Like, no, we don't want to have any final moments. It's weird to me, and I don't think it was a Stallone choice, because he wasn't a director or editor of that film.
Am I making things up, or did Rocky also make eye contact with Drago in that scene?
Yeah, they did. They did a head nod of, we're done. That scene would have worked even more had they not, and they didn't show the hospital fight, right? So now to answer Gray's question, would the Rocky-Drago fight be considered canon? This is actually an interesting question, because sure, they could have fought and they could have done the head nod in the locker and moved on with their life, because both scenes were deleted. But it didn't fit the tone of the film or the narrative of the film. It wouldn't change the outcome of the film, so it's not a contradictory storyline. They threw a couple punches and they got mad at each other, but the movie goes on. I knew about this scene had been filmed before the movie came out. I didn't like the idea of it before the movie had been released, and I was actually happy. This is one of the first deleted scenes that I was aware of where I was actually happy it wasn't in the film. So I still think it can be canon, but as a deleted scene for a narrative, I'm glad it was cut.
Yeah, this is why I have a problem with deleted scenes. It's because I'm a little bit black and white on it. you either accept them or you don't type of thing. Although obviously you have to have exceptions or it's like contradictory or something. Like before I was really hard line is in they shouldn't count. And then I changed my view is in they should count unless they're obviously contradictory or wouldn't work. I get uncomfortable in gray areas like this where a deleted scene wouldn't work with the narrative or something. But it's like, okay, could I really accept this scene or not? The nuance bothers me, I guess.
All right. And lastly, he sent us a two. Oh, sorry. I do like your points. What was it? Lastly, he sent us the headstones of Adrian and Paul, Pauly. So Adrian Balboa was born in 1950. She passed away in 2002. So she died at the age of 52. And she died 4 years before the events of Rocky Balboa took place. And we know that restaurant that they opened up had been opened up in 1995. So she was a part of that restaurant for 7 years before her passing. Because a lot of people think that restaurant was built in Adrian's name, but it was built with her as a owner operator with Rocky.
Yeah, which is like weird because it's very Rocky themed otherwise.
And we talked about it in one of our episodes where we joked that when Adrian passed, he made it a sports restaurant.
Guessing it's always in Rocky theme because that would be the draw. Otherwise, it's just another restaurant. And restaurants have like a fantastically high failure rate.
Oh, yeah.
Initially open a restaurant. So having that brand name of like, hey, you could meet an ex-champion and hear fight stories and stuff. That's a huge draw.
That's one thing I'll give credit to Ryan Coogler for is keeping the Adrian restaurant in the Creed films.
Yeah, I agree. It seems like he stops being involved with that restaurant, doing training and all that other stuff. Maybe it's well established enough as a legitimate restaurant for people to go there without having to see him there.
Yeah, you could just argue that people know he's training right now. You could just argue that too, that hey, the guy that we love, the Rocky character that we love in this Rocky universe, we know right now he's training the current champion. So he's busy.
He's got stuff to do.
Yeah. And lastly, he gave us Paulie's grave. His name was actually Paul Panino. As we know, the last name is Panino. Did you know the name Panino? It's never said in the films, is it?
Yeah, it is. Very briefly, when Adrian and Rocky are getting married, when Father Carmine is marrying them in Italian, you can hear him say, like, Adriana Panino, blah, 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 blah.
Rocky Balboa, volete prendere Adriana Panino qui presente per la vostra moglie?
Yeah, absolutely, yes.
Adriana Panino, volete prendere a Rocky Balboa qui presente per vostro marito?
I do.
Thanks.
Io declaro che siete sposo e sposa.
Oh, so that would be the only time. Cause when it was Italian, I'd kind of drowned it out not listening for any words Okay, so his birth name is Paul, and his nickname is Pauly.
That makes sense. I don't know if anyone actually has a Pauly as a legal name. Like, you never know with people, but...
So he was born 10 years before Adrian. This was interesting because I think we got their ages wrong back in part one. So we were saying that Pauly was 35 in part one, but he was actually 40.
And is Burt Young, was he born in 1940?
No, that's the reason why, is because ironically, this is one time that him looking older than his actual age worked for the character.
Yeah.
Adrian was born in 1950. Pauly was born in 1940. She was pushing 30 freaking years in 1976. Oh, wait. So she was 26. So he exaggerated. She was on the other side of 25, but she was 26 in Rocky Part One. And then, yes, Pauly would have been 36. So that's how that works. Okay, so they got the ages right with the actors. Okay. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it makes total sense.
And he died at the age of 72.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that was probably alcohol related. That is pretty young to die.
Yeah.
That's about 10 years before the average life expectancy. Given that he drank enough alcohol to probably go through a couple liver replacements, then yeah, it makes sense.
I hope our listeners don't mind the, it's Rocky talk. I mean, that's what this podcast is for. If they just want us to rush through the movie, I guess they would like us to do that too. But we're ready to crack the next scene in the film. Do you remember where we are?
They just had the fight in the alleyway, right?
It wasn't a fight. Pauly got angry in the restaurant, but they resolved it in the alleyway, yes.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that's right.
Rocky's coming in from that exchange and going back in the restaurant, and little Marie's there to greet him, to tell him that there's somebody waiting for him.
okay?
Yes. Yeah, yeah, good, good. How are you?
Oh, yeah, fine.
Good.
This is great.
Listen, there's some guys over there who want to talk to you.
Okay.
Okay?
Got it.
So little Marie just says, hey, everything okay? And Rocky says, yeah, it's great. Everything's great. And then she says, yeah, go over there. There's some guys there to talk to you. And Rocky says, yeah, no problem. Let's go talk to people.
Well, that's what he's there for, I guess.
Yeah, and that's probably what he's thinking. He's thinking, oh, just more people want to meet me.
In reality, though, I think that would be a major problem. People coming in the restaurant to want to talk to him and not necessarily want to, like, eat there. You might just want to see Rocky and then go. You'd probably need security at a place like that.
I wonder if there's some sort of policy at the door that says, you know, you must eat to meet.
Or basically Rocky comes to you.
Right.
Type of thing. You can ask to see Rocky, but all we could really tell you is you could sit down and have a meal just like the normal restaurant. And if Rocky comes to you, great. If he doesn't.
That's probably what it is. Because at this point in 2006, this restaurant's been open for 11 years. And I wouldn't say the novelty's gone, but for the most part, it's kind of like, yeah, I mean, locally, this restaurant's been busy for 11 years. And it's, yeah, Rocky's there, great. He doesn't live there, but if he's not there, then, you know, you're still having a good food, good time, you know, seeing all the memorabilia and everything.
I'm guessing a lot of tourists or visitors to Philly would go to this restaurant too.
Sure.
It's like, it's probably known, very well known. And it's like, you're visiting Philly. Where do you want to go? Let's go to Adrian's because we might see Rocky Balboa there and that'd be really cool.
Oh yeah, for sure.
Thanks for coming by. I appreciate it.
No problem. Our pleasure.
So you want to hear some stories?
What kind of stories?
Well, a lot of people like to hear these old fight stories, you know?
Maybe later.
I mean, I know Stallone wrote this. It kind of diminishes the Rocky character a little bit. He just goes up to them and he whores himself out with stories, almost in it, like, you want to hear stories? That's why people come here. They want to hear fight stories. like a performing monkey.
I think in one way, yes. And I think in another way, it shows how down to earth Rocky is.
Yeah.
Like, he's not snobby with people. A lot of people, if they get famous or wealthy or whatever, they can really treat normal people like crap. Or just kind of distance themselves from there. I'm sure there's a lot of reasons why. It seems to be a fairly normal way. With Rocky, that's not his way at all. Like, he'll kind of talk to anyone, and he probably does really appreciate that people visit his restaurant, and they're still interested in him.
Yeah, I guess I just felt bad from there. He seemed tired, maybe because of the situation with Paulie. Maybe his heart's not in it right now.
Yeah, I think you're right.
Okay.
I'm Lou DiBella. This is Elsie Luco. He's Mason Dixon's manager. Like to sit down and join us?
Sure.
Please. You know, we have the promotional contract for Mason Dixon, who's a big fan, by the way.
Really?
And when he heard you were interested in fighting again, he thought, why not try to work something out? Like a special event. Like a first-class exhibition fight.
I love how they're already lying to him.
Yeah, yeah. It is funny, too. I'm sure they had to do this just for the sake of the movie and writing and moving things along. If you're trying to pitch something to someone, you probably want to build a little bit more rapport with them and kind of chit chat with them a bit first. Like, they say, like, oh, hey, how's it going? And then immediately they're like, hey, let's do this exhibition fight.
Mason's a big fan. No, he's not.
He's like, really? Mason, I don't know how old Mason Dixon is. Like, I'm guessing Mason Dixon would have been born around like 1980 or something like that. I think Antonio Tarver was born in like 77 or 78.
Well, I think we're supposed to believe, well, Mason Dixon and Tarver are the same age. That's kind of how the Rocky films have done this.
Yeah, I think he was born in the late 70s, if I remember right. Because I looked this up a long time ago.
Antonio Tarver, born in 68. Whoa.
68. Holy cow. 68.
He's 51 right now. So in 2006, he was already 38? Is my math right? No, it's not.
Yeah. Yeah. Because in 2008, he would have turned 40.
Whoa. He is much older than I thought he was in the film.
If he was pushing 40, he would have been like well on the decline, boxing-wise. Name a fighter. Any of them get close to that age. They could still fight, and they might still win fights, but they're not what they were when they were 30 years old or 25 years old. That's for sure.
Yeah, he's 38. Interesting.
Wow.
He was kind of over the hill for a boxer at that time.
I can't believe that Mason Dixon would be that old, though. I can't accept that because he seems to be in his prime right now. Like, he's knocking guys out like it's nothing. Division could be bad, but it's not that bad where you have like a 40-year-old just destroying everybody.
Well, that's what Rocky was doing in his late 30s.
Yeah, but he's no Rocky, and we all know that.
Yeah, of course.
Well, Rocky in his late 30s would be... That would have been him around the Drago fight.
Yeah.
The Drago fight's so unrealistic, but he would have been past his prime by then, too, for sure.
Well, he was 30 in 1976. Rocky IV came out in 85. So it was 9 years. Yeah, he was Mason Dixon's age when he fought Drago.
Yeah. In real life, like, they just not happening. Like, I know there's George Foreman, who came back at that age. Foreman wasn't dominant in the 80s and 90s like he was in the 70s. Like, he won fights. Tommy Morrison beat him. Tommy Morrison was a great fighter, but, you know, he's probably not in the conversation of best of all time. Sorry, Trish, if you're listening. He got beat by Holyfield. He got, like, he took his share of losses because he, you know, he wasn't the same at that age.
Right. We're both legitimately surprised on air about Mason Dixon's age during the film in Rocky Balboa.
Man, he looks good. He's the total opposite of Paulie.
Antonio Tarver is 2 to 3 years older than Burt Young was in Rocky Part 1 in this film.
Can I say something controversial here?
What, Black Don't Crack?
I have a hard time telling black people's ages, to be honest with you. Like, I've had times where it's like I'll see someone on TV or something, and they're a black person, and then they'll say their age, and they'll often actually look older. Like, you'll have some guy who's like 16, and I think he's like 25 or something. And then you'll have someone who's 50, and I think they're 30. Like, I'm just all over the map.
It's not bad. No, it's unique to their DNA. It's like Denzel Washington. When I saw him in Glory back in 1988, 89, when that movie came out, he's been that age for the next 25 years in film. And that's a credit to him. But in a weird way, the same with Morgan Freeman, who was also in Glory. Morgan Freeman's been that age, old, for 25 years.
I mostly see white people. There are lots of people who are non-white where I live, but I'm mostly used to interacting with white people, and I'm better at telling someone's age if they're white than if they're not.
Sure. To Mason's credit, or to Antonio Tarver's credit, yeah, he looks 10 to 12 years his junior. If you told me he was 28 in that film, I would be like, oh, yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, that's what I would have thought.
So they led with an exhibition fight. It's just supposed to be an exhibition.
And also, you can tell Rocky didn't really believe the big fan thing by his reaction.
Yeah, he just said, okay. And now, now he asks, why me? And then here we go with the more snake oil salesman pitch.
He respects the hell out of you, all right? And let's be honest, that computer fight got people curious. This could be very interesting.
Yeah, but I ain't interested in getting, like, mangled and embarrassed. Or...
Rocky, forever humble, you know, saying, look, he's the champion. He's the current champion. I'm pushing 60. He has every right to believe he's going to get mangled in the ring.
Yeah, and he probably would be in reality, right?
Well, Tyson is, what, 55 now? Something like that?
You get his ass handed to him, I think.
Sure. Yeah, he'd be winded.
Yeah, don't get me wrong. Mike Tyson is an incredible fighter. I'm a big fan of Mike Tyson. Mike Tyson's style, what made him great, is a young man's... Just the way he moved and stuff like that, you got to be young and spry for that style to work. Because you get to be bobbing and weaving and very evasive. Yeah, like if Mike came back in the ring, it would not work well for him, I think.
No, and that's the idea here is Rocky is like 3 to 5 years older than Tyson is now in this film. Rocky has every reason to believe that he wants to go back to the ring and throw a couple punches, have some fun with it to fight the current champion of the world. Then he's like, no, I'm going to embarrass myself. My son's right. If I go in the ring, I'm going to be embarrassed.
And even like going back to George Foreman, who obviously inspired this, George Foreman fought a lot of people before he got a title fight.
Right.
It's not like he came right back into boxing and is suddenly fighting the champion again. He had to fight for, I think, 6 or 7 years before he got a title shot again. It was a very long comeback.
Right. Good point. So now the LC Luca, I think that's his name, he's now saying, no, it's not going to happen. It's not going to happen, you know.
Not going to happen. Never happen. No.
Truthfully, I was thinking more on minuscule, small level, you know, small fights, not big fights, small fights, things that local, you know what I mean? Not
a bad idea, but don't think of it as big. Think of it, like I said, like an exhibition. Think of it as a glorified sparring session.
That's not a bad pitch, glorified sparring session.
Yeah, I actually don't mind the idea of a fight like that if it's not like a legitimate title shot type of fight where you're just kind of, you know, messing around in the ring. Like, that'd be kind of cool to watch.
Of course. And now he's going to go in with his pitch of, here's something Yoleko says, we'll donate a portion of the gate to charity. The portion is probably 1%.
I never found out if Rocky actually gets paid for this fight.
Yeah, we never find out what he gets paid, if anything. He must have gotten paid something, and he probably just rolled it into the restaurant.
Yeah, that's a big payday. Like, he could have got out of South Philly with that payday.
Yeah.
See if he got, like, $1 million for it or something.
Yeah, it's weird. We never see it translate in the Creed films with his house. It's not a bad house that he lives in the Creed, so he might have gotten something.
They seem to, at least the losers at the bar, seem to think he had money. But compared to them, he probably did. I seem to think that Rocky does okay for himself. He's not struggling financially. Nowhere near the opulence of what he had as champion.
No.
Well, that's always nice.
Yeah. It's good to give.
Yeah.
That's always nice. It's good to give. He raises his glass of water as a gesture, some sort of like Italian mafia.
It's funny. There's someone I know in real life that's a lot like this guy. I keep thinking of him as I'm watching this. I could guarantee this guy gives jack squat to charity.
Oh, he doesn't care. It's good to give.
He's like, oh, it's good to give. I've heard.
I've read somewhere. It's nice to give.
If I give a portion of the gate to charity, I could probably reduce my tax exposure. You know what I mean? Oh, man. This guy.
Yeah. Unbelievable.
Where is it taking place?
Las Vegas.
Las Vegas. Nice and warm. This cold's got to be killing you.
It's stiff.
You were better when you're warmer, you know that.
So they're telling him it's going to be, the fight's going to be in Vegas. This Philly cold must be getting to you. And Rocky's like, yeah, it's a little stiff. Now, is he saying that because he's actually now starting to think a little bit about the fight?
The way Rocky said it was interesting. Where is this taking place? As in, it's already happening? Instead of like, where would this take place? Or could just be like his grammar or whatever. You really seem to think by the way he said it that in his mind something clicks or this is actually happening now.
Well, the bug is in him still. He might be close to 60, but that fighter's bug, the thrill, the fight, rising up, the challenge of his rival, you know, it's still there. It's in him.
Yeah.
Let's be honest. I hate to say it, but Adrian ain't there no more.
Yeah.
He doesn't need to ask permission. He just does it.
Yeah, this is like, one of the few times, other than Rocky IV, where he just told Adrian basically to piss off, and then he finally won an argument with her, essentially.
Yeah.
He kind of almost needed his son's permission, but not really. But I think he would have wanted it. So I guess his son kind of took the place of Adrian to a degree.
Well, he wanted his son's blessing. That speech that he had at the beginning that we talked about, that was him telling his son, look, I'm doing this. I'm sorry you disagree with me. But he would have liked to have his son's blessing and even participation, but no, Rocky's not asking permission anymore.
No. It'd be nice if you could support me, but that's not going to be the deciding factor as to whether I'm going to do this or not. But yeah, you know, getting out of town, there's something about a change of scenery too that's nice. I travel for work sometimes, and I generally like to be at home with my family and stuff, but it is nice to get away sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
To be somewhere else and to do something else and kind of get out of that just like the everyday routine of just doing the same thing every day.
Yeah, being a sailor, I've seen the world. It's nice to see the world, but it's nice to go home too.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
And if nothing else, you'll have new stories to tell.
I really got to think about this.
Absolutely.
Is that okay?
I understand.
No problem.
I'm going to go over there. You guys can order something.
What do you recommend?
It's all edible.
This guy's like, what do you recommend? Oh, it's all edible.
The way he laughed at that, that's probably what I would have done too if someone said that to me. I think he laughed as if it was a joke, even though it wasn't.
I think there's a part of him here that I think he likes the idea of it, but he doesn't like these people. He's like, man, I know these people. I know what they're like. But at the same time, you know, he's like, how much time do I have to kick around the local scene at my age?
And I wonder how much he misses people chanting his name.
Sure.
Rocky's by no means a narcissist, but being in the spotlight and feeling the love from the fans, because he was probably one of the most beloved fighters ever.
Well, remember the montage in Rocky III at the beginning when he's, you know, has his 10 to 11 title fights? There's scenes with him bowing and kissing the crowd.
And people love Rocky. Creed might have been probably one of the greatest of all time, which is funny. He was never mentioned in that simulation thing.
We talked about that, saying that they might have had a rotating of fighter simulations. That's all.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. I would say for sure Rocky would be the one of the most beloved fighters of all time.
Yeah.
I think he would have been, he'd been more well-liked than Creed ever was, for sure.
Like Hulk Hogan in the world of wrestling is not the greatest grappler or athletic wrestler, but he was loved by fans for his showmanship and for, you know, for what he did in the ring. I know it's two different worlds, but the idea is there's a difference between being, like, even the musical world too. There's people that are more popular than somebody who might be technically a better guitar player, but yeah, it's showmanship and aesthetics and all these things have to combine to become a superstar. It's not always just being the best that makes people fan favorites.
Yeah, I agree. And it's, I think people could feel Rocky's passion. And his story was, it's like a very romantic type of story of a guy who is basically just like anyone else, was given a shot and he made it. That's inspiring to people. That's something very special, very rare.
Oh, yeah.
People identify with that. So Rocky's very well loved, and I think there is part of him that probably misses that a bit.
Okay. Thanks. Well, yeah. Imagine fixing Meth's best in his prime. Kill him.
You could.
Kill him.
Did you hear that?
Okay. Now, luckily, Sly clarified this, because when I first heard this, when I first watched the movie, I was, what did they mean by that?
Okay, before you give your account, can I say as a viewer what I think was said? And I actually don't know what you're going to say. So for our listeners, I don't know what you're going to bring up. So Rocky, for our listeners, has left the table, and the two gentlemen that came here to promote the exhibition fight to Rocky are now talking behind Rocky's back as he's left out of earshot. And they're saying, if Mason Dixon fought Rocky Balboa when they're both in their prime, Rocky Balboa would murder Dixon in the ring. That's what I take their conversation to mean.
Yeah. That's a totally reasonable conclusion. When I first heard it, I said, okay, it's either that or he would kill him. It's very ambiguous, right?
I totally took it as Rocky in his prime, because they're looking at him as an old man right now. So they're saying, you know, here's an old gentleman. We're just going to use his name to promote a fight with the current champion. However, these two had met in their prime. Rocky would, and they're right. I mean, Rocky, not in his prime, beat Drago. So Rocky in his prime, between like the events of Rocky 2 to Rocky 3, that's his prime, right? He would have totally leveled Mason.
In actuality, Rocky started fighting, big time fighting, after his prime.
You could argue just his ability as a boxer. The events of Rocky's 2 to 3, like the montage that we see of all those title defenses, even though they was handpicked, he still took care of them pretty easily.
Yeah. And that's the kind of mystery of Rocky 2, kind of like with Ali. Ali was out when he couldn't fight because his license was pulled because of his objection to the Vietnam being drafted.
Right.
Those were his prime years that he missed.
Right.
He got taken out kind of at the apex. And so there's always kind of that question, what could he have done in that time? And similarly with Rocky, Rocky started very late. And you could say, well, he's a late bloomer. Lennox Lewis was a late bloomer. Lewis fought young, but he didn't get really good till later. There's always kind of the mystery with Rocky. With, well, what if Mick did start training him back in 69 like he should have or something? Like, what could have happened there?
Right.
Like, what would have Rocky really been capable of if he had his full youth and all that experience and training? Which is an aside. There's a – not a deleted scene, but – they had an interview with Sly, and I think it's included with the movies, if you go into the special features or whatever, where Sly addressed this scene specifically because he said, yeah, some people seem to think they meant that Dixon would kill Rocky in his prime, which is not what they meant. According to Sly, they meant what you said.
Okay.
It's that if Rocky met Dixon in his prime, Rocky would easily beat Dixon. Like, it wouldn't be a contest. Dixon would have been one of those 10 title defenses.
Sly and I are on the same page. I'm actually confused why people were confused then, because that's totally how I understood it.
It's just because the way he said it was ambiguous.
I understand, but it wouldn't make sense. So imagine if it was the other way around. That doesn't make sense. So they're saying Mason would murder Rocky in his prime. Well, then only imagine what he would do to Rocky now. So they're just saying like Rocky. The only reason why I could think they would say that is just to show how much Rocky is going to be able to fight this guy. Like how much?
I agree. But it wouldn't make a lot of sense. But it's just. Because it was said kind of ambiguously, there is some room for that.
Yeah, it's called the misplaced modifier. Because they used him and him too much, we didn't know which him they were referring to.
Yeah, exactly.
I do find that interesting that this was written, because keep in mind, Stallone wrote this film. And so Stallone wrote the words to be said to the audience that he wants the audience to know that Rocky would kill Mason in his prime. If you're a true Rocky fan, I know what Rocky can do. I'm not saying it's kind of a self-gratification type dialogue, but it's kind of like, I don't know why Stallone had to write that.
Well, one thing I was thinking is, what's that guy's name again, the guy with the beard?
I think L.C. Luca or something. Or
L.C. Luca was on TV right before the computer fight. And he was asked, after the computer fight. He was asked about it, and he says, to think an old school athlete like Balboa could have beat Dixon, it's just absurd. Where he called it irresponsible. Right? And then you hear him say, well, oh yeah, obviously Rocky would beat Dixon. So you kind of see how two-faced this guy is, even though it's pretty obvious anyways.
Yeah, he's all about the money. He's no Mickey as a manager. He's about the money. He's, you know, he doesn't even like his own client, which is not unheard of.
Yeah, no kidding. It goes to show he'll just kind of say whatever he needs to say.
Maybe, yeah, you could argue by writing that in, we're seeing his character of throwing his own client under the bus. You know, basically saying that Mason is not as good as a fighter as he thinks he is.
Plus, it maybe gives the audience a little bit of hope that Rocky has a chance. Because if you think about it, okay, well, if Rocky in his prime would have easily slaughtered Mason, then perhaps Rocky, you know, in this state would have at least a small chance, a puncher's chance maybe.
All right.
If it were competitive back then, like say like Rocky and Apollo Creed, obviously, right? Like very competitive.
Right.
A 60-year-old Apollo Creed versus a 30-year-old Rocky, there's obviously Apollo Creed would be get beaten easily. Right? It would just be no contest because it was competitive when Creed was younger and healthy. So how could it possibly be anywhere near competitive if he isn't?
Right.
If Mason's a bum, then it's like, okay, well, Rocky, he's not what he used to be, but he still has a chance against this guy.
Who is in their prime? Everyone's in their prime. Who's the greatest fighter in the franchise?
Just like most skilled fighter or like the most likely to win?
Regardless of age, whatever their fighting prime was, round robin, who wins type thing. Like who is the best fighter?
I'll give you my answer, but I have to qualify it a bit.
That's fair.
Apollo Creed.
Yeah, that's my pick too.
Because Apollo Creed's problem is that he is knockout obsessed. And so when he goes for the knockout in some of these situations, he'll get tuned up and lose, which is what happened in the second fight.
But that's only when he was facing Rocky.
Yes. Who would be included in this round robin?
Of course. That's right. Yes.
I think the temptation would be to say Drago because he's just bulldozes through everybody.
But you take away his drugs, don't forget. Everyone's on the same playing field. So everyone's drug free.
Okay. Yeah. Then for sure he'd get beat. I think a younger, even Ivan Drago on drugs, a young Apollo Creed who fought smart would give him some problems.
Oh, yeah.
A young Apollo Creed who fought smart would embarrass Clubber Lang.
Oh, yeah. Clubber Lang's the worst fighter in the franchise.
Yeah, for sure. If Apollo would have not gone for the knockout and fought smart in the second fight, then he would have beaten Rocky Balboa like 13 rounds to 2 or something like that. Like,
that's right.
I'd say Apollo's probably the best one.
He's the best fighter, absolutely. He's the best fighter. Yeah. His pride got in the way. So if you just want to go like no emotion because that's part of the fight is the heart. But if you want to go play to win and not play to knock out, Apollo Creed will beat everybody. And he would beat Drago at any – whatever age Drago's at, Paul's at, Apollo could beat Drago at any age if he matched that age.
Yeah, I agree. Man, I remember on a Facebook group some guy called me like an effing idiot for saying that.
No.
Say, yeah, some Drago fanboy or whatever, but Even Rocky in the Creed movie said Creed was the best there ever was. Yep.
Yeah, because time defeats everybody. Rocky, he didn't say it in the film, but what Rocky was saying, of course, was he happened to be the fighter that fought Apollo when his time was up.
Yeah. Another thing about boxing is style matches, right?
Mm-hmm. Of course, yeah, yeah,
like,
yeah.
I think Rocky's style was very bad for Apollo.
Here's a hot take. I think Tommy Gunn could beat Drago, same age, same peak era, whatever their peak was, whatever that age, whenever they're both at their best.
I didn't even think about Tommy in the equation, but I should.
Tommy was a beast.
Yeah. I don't know Tommy and Drago. This is Drago not on steroids.
Yes, right. You got to take away the steroids. They both train naturally, whatever they got to train.
I would say it's a toss-up for those two. I think either one could win on a given night.
I think so, too.
I think Tommy Gunn would slap Clubber around, though.
Well, Clubber's the worst fighter. Still the worst fighter. I think Mason could beat Clubber easily.
Who?
Mason.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, anyone. Because Clubber doesn't do anything. He just has these wild swings.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Speed would totally just... I don't know.
He's just angry. That's his skill, anger. All right, well, that's gonna close it up. Remember, if you want to have us give you a shout-out, donate on Patreon, give us an iTunes review, send us an email. Those are your three qualifications. Continue interacting as you guys are doing on Facebook, on our Facebook group, Going the Distance, Rocky Series Podcast, and on Twitter. Make sure you give Kyle a follow on Twitter. I don't think you've only got 17 right now. We've only
got... I'm really bad on Twitter. I never check it. I probably don't reply to people's stuff, so...
Well, you need to do better than that.
I know. I just, I'm not in the habit of checking Twitter.
Oh, you got new followers. Okay, wait, you got some new followers.
This French woman followed me, and she's really attractive.
Sandra Martin?
And I don't know why. What?
Sandra Martin?
No, I don't think so.
Do you know who Sandra Martin is?
No.
It says here, she's from the Antarctica. Yeah, I think she's a fake profile there, but she's following you. She goes, I'm here because I'm too lazy to find my soulmate, and my mom said that I'm getting old.
The French person seems real enough.
Which one's that? Marie?
We're trying to find out.
Marie?
I'm really bad with this.
Yeah, Marie. She's got... Let's see here. Yeah, she looks... That's
my
weird.
My French is not that good, so I have a hard time understanding her.
Why is she following you? Why isn't she following me? She's from France.
Yeah, she has 353 followers, but she follows 4,400 people.
It says here, I am looking for a serious relationship. So I don't know.
She wants some co-host loving from moi.
But Hector's following you, by the way.
Yes, I followed Hector right back. I'm not following Marie or Sandra, though.
No, I think they might be spam accounts, but we'll take them. One Shot Reviews and Podcasts, they're a new podcast. They're following you because they follow the Rocky Series podcast. Vinny, who gave us a review, he's following you. Doug of the Rocky Minute podcast is following you.
Doug is someone who I would be terrified to run into if they were mad at me. I'm just looking at this picture of Doug, and I'm like, this guy would thrash me like I was nothing.
Yeah, we call him Big Gun Doug.
Yeah, man, I wouldn't mess with that guy for sure.
He's the nicest guy, though.
I know. I really like Doug. I'm just saying, if I didn't know him and I just ran into him around the corner, and I'm just looking at this picture of him with the cigar in his mouth and stuff, I'd be like, please don't hurt me.
So we want to give a shout. Let's give a shout out to these followers. We want to get a shout out. Follow Kyle. So we got Hector, Sal, big fan of the show. Showtime Sal. We got Chester Copperpot, and he's followed my podcast. So this is a guy who has followed the show since the beginning. He's followed me since the beginning as a podcast. So shout out to Chester, Vinny, Arcade Adriano. He's a big fan of the show. He does the podcast Arcade Attack UK. It's a retro gaming podcast. Very successful for them. They do a great job. Answer the 10 count. He follows you. They have 10,000 followers. They're a former pro wrestling podcast. All their stuff is archived. They don't do it anymore, but they've been very supportive of the show. And I think they listen to every episode because they're following you now. Of course, Craig from SlyCast follows you. Andy is a great fan of the show as well. He's listened to every episode, and he's the guy that sends me all the movies when I do the podcast review with the podcast crossover with SlyCast and Rocky Minute. He sends me the films via email so I can edit that into the review. So that's very kind of him. Yeah, there you go. So we need more Kyle followers. Let's go.
I actually don't give a shit, to be honest.
No, this is supposed to It's all about the community. Don't listen to Kyle.
I'm sorry, maybe we'll edit that part out.
Oh, man. Boy, you're following in Ruben's footsteps very well with the Twitter.
I hate Twitter for some reason. I find it confusing and weird. I'm like, honestly, with stuff like this, I'm rapidly, even though I'm 10 years younger than you, I'm rapidly deteriorating into like old person doesn't know how anything works anymore. It's getting bad.
As long as you know how to join the podcast chat, that's all that matters.
Yeah. Barely.
All right, brother. Any last words?
Just wash your hands. Even if coronavirus is gone, it's still always a good practice. Stay safe.
Take us out.
Ding, ding.
All right, brother, enjoy the rest of your day.
Yeah, you too. Oh god, I have so much shit to do. It's crazy. Have you done any panic buying of groceries or anything?
Toilet paper,
man. I bought one little pack when they were almost out, and I wish I would have got more.
But yeah, we've got toilet paper. I'm actually legitimately surprised how much stuff has got off the shelves. It's actually, I would say scary is the right word, but it's like real, like everybody everywhere, like we've run out of food everywhere. It's kind of,
yeah, I'm stressed just because people are being stupid.
No, that's fair. I know. If everyone just kept buying what they needed, there wouldn't be panic buying.
Exactly. So like one of the reasons I'm stressed is when this afternoon and this morning I've been making like lots of soups and stuff and like putting them in jars. I'm gonna be freezing them, and I'm trying to get things in order a little bit just in case we get quarantined or something.
No, that's fair.
It's like toilet paper I'm not that worried about because
you can still wash in the shower, and you can even use old bed sheets or something. Yeah, there's still ways around it. Yeah, you can cut up old bed sheets into like a million plies and stuff like that. Yeah.
We use cloth diapers for our son.
Yep.
You know what a diaper sprayer is that you connect to your toilet?
We did cloth diapers. Yep.
Yeah, so I could diaper spray my ass if I really had to. Although, man, that water's cold. I tried it once just to see it. It's like high pressure cold water. So I think we'll do
bed sheets first. Cut that up. We got a lot of old sheets that we can, like, one sheet could provide almost like 100, 200 easily wipes.
Yeah. Someone on my Facebook feed did some math. It's like if you buy one of these really large Costco packs of toilet paper, to go through that in 2 weeks, you'd have to take like 20 sheets per shit and like 40 shits a day. Like, you don't need that much toilet paper.
No, people are buying,
like, multiple ones.
Yeah, people are. Well, back in the day, you used to, and now we tell our kids, one ply per swipe. Let's go. Yeah, we're trying to teach them that. But, all right, brother, I'm going to go have my supper.
Oh, yeah, I forgot that it's a different time zone.
Well, it's all good. All right, enjoy your day. We'll hook up next weekend if you can.
All right, sounds good, man.
Cheers.
Take care.
Bye-bye. All right,
bye.